So, important everyone, we are holding on Nun Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, continuing talking about the Chavite called Minchas Chavite, you know, Chavite Kohen Gadol, so called because they're prepared in a machlas, which is a frying pan. So the Gemara says, Tznan Hasim, we learn in a Mishnah later in Amud Sekhar, Chavite Kohen Gadol, this korban is Chavite Kohen Gadol, Lishosen va'alichosen va'afiyosen lefnim. The kneading of it and shaping it and the baking all has to be done with Fnim inside the Azara. The Dochas is a Shabbos, and all of them are Dochas Shabbos, meaning that you don't, the one that's going to, they have to be brought every day. The one that's going to be made on Shabbos is not going to be prepared on Erev Shabbos. It's going to be actually baked and fried and whatever on Shabbos. Why is that? Rashi explains. So first of all, there was actually an oven in the Azara, a metal oven we're going to talk about later in the Masechta. Now, the kneading and the kneading and the shaping of it, Rashi points out, is before they put in the order. So why, and most other menachas, indeed, according to this Tana, don't have to be kneaded and baked inside the azar. The reason is, Rashi explains, because, as we learned yesterday, the Kohen Gadol brings in a completely sodden of flour in the morning, and then they divide it into half and half. There was a half sodden measuring cup in the Beis Mikdash, and they used that to split it into the half, for the half in the morning, the half in the afternoon, and that one was a Kli Shoris. So once it's placed in a Kli Shoris, then it has its full Kedusha, and now if you were to leave it overnight, then it would become possible by Lina. Therefore, of necessity, they'd have to measure it out and fry and bake it every day, including Shabbos. Rashi also goes on to say, there was a one Yisod and measuring cup also. That one they didn't anoint with Shemin HaMishra, and they didn't make it a Kli Shoris, because every individual who brings a mincha, usually a typical mincha, is an isorin. So most people would bring one isorin and measure it with that, and they might take it out of the azara afterwards before they complete the process. So we don't want it to become possible, as it would if it was in a klisharis, and then it's taken out of the azara, or it would become possible. So instead, they didn't make that one a klisharis. But the half isorin, which was used strictly for dividing up the Kohen Gadol's mincha, that they were mosheach, that they did anoint it, and therefore, they had to do it every day. Otherwise, the flour they measured yesterday would become possible today because of Lina. So the Gemara says Menahani Mili. Where do we know that from? Well, so if the whole point is they anointed that half of Sarin in order that then they could, because and therefore it's going to become possible. Well, then don't anoint that. Don't anoint it. Don't make it a klichotis, just like you don't make the fully Sarin one. And then you won't have a problem. Then you can make it before Shabbos. Why don't we do that? Amarakuna tufine. So Rakuna says again, because we have to focus on the word tufine that it says in the Pasuk describing the Minchas Chavitin. Yesterday we talked about these two different explanations. It can mean terafena noa. It has to be baked in a nice way, meaning it shouldn't be blackened from the frying, or terafena noa. It should be partially raw. It should be only half baked. It should be only half prepared when it comes to the baking of it. So we talked about a different explanation that the Ravid has on it. Whatever the case, the point is, now we're focusing on that Teafena Noah. Again, it has to be baked nicely. So besides the fact that it means that tells us about the order of preparing it, it's also, it has to be nice when you're being makrib. The ofila ma'esmo, if you were to bake it the day before, in shefala, then it gets blown up. It gets air gets onto it and it gets puffed up and it doesn't look as nice as it did before when it was fresh. So therefore it has to be completely fresh. And therefore you can't make it the day before. So the Gemara asks, Master for Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef asks, that's not a valid reason. Aim at the kovish le v'yarka. What you could always do is you could bury it among vegetables. Vegetables are a poor conductor of heat, so therefore I know they'll prevent any air from, they'll prevent as much as possible air from getting into it. So that way it'll stay relatively fresh if you bury it in some vegetable leaves or something, and that way you could conceivably bake it on Friday, and it's still good for Shabbos. So why not do that? So Rabbi Yosef says, in short, that's not a valid way of understanding why we shouldn't bake it on Erev Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara says, they taught a Braisa that gives a different reason why it has to be done every day, including Shabbos. Because the Pasuk says, it should be made And from that we learn that Tfilah b'Shabbos, from that we learn that it's made even on Shabbos. In other words, supposed to say al machbas v'shem and te'osa, it should be made out with a frying pan with oil. It doesn't have to say te'osa al machbas v'shem. So therefore, so the te'osa teaches us that you do it even on Shabbos. Te'osa v'after the betumah, and it means you make it even if the kohenim, and you bring it even if the kohenim are tummy. Tosfos points out it's similar to the Korban Pesach. We use the word b'mayadoi to teach us both that you bring it on Shabbos and you bring it even if the tzibur is Tommy. Tosfos points out it's called Shulimheim. It's called both of them are equal. There's no reason to prefer one drasha over the other, and the result is we can actually douse in both things from the one word. So there's no particular reason we should say that Tumah or Shabbos is one stronger than the other. Okay, so that's another way of learning that the Minchas Chavitin is made even on Shabbos. Okay, another way, Abaya says, here's another explanation. The Omer Kro, because the Pasuk says, Solus Mincha Tomri. The Pasuk says, a constant Mincha of flour, meaning the fact that the Torah calls it Tomid, Harayik Minchas Chavitin. So it's exactly like the Mincha that's brought with the Korban Tomid, and just like the Korban Tomid and the Mincha that comes with it are Dorcha Shabbos. And that in turn, Tosfos points out, we know because the Tomid is brought every day, and it says on an Al Oibos that Tomid. The Pesach also we learn by Xero Shavu from that. So therefore, so the same way the Chavitei Kohen Gadol are brought indeed every day. We'll talk about later on. We'll talk about a Sicha where the Rebbe talks about let's analyze this Chavitei Kohen Gadol. Is it essentially a private person's korban, or is it essentially a korban of the tzibur? But we're saying, at least as far as this business of Shabbos and Tumah, it's considered like a korban symbol. Rava gives a different explanation. Because the pasuk says al machmas, the pasuk says it should be fried in a frying pan, and that means not just any frying pan. Malamachit or a kli, that means it has to be fried in a kli shoreis. So even if you measure it with a half sodan, even if you're going to say, let's say that the half sodan was not nimshach, was not anointed with shemen amishah, let's say for example they held. Like the different answers that we like Rabbi Yosef had pointed out, that maybe they don't need to be Moshiachit. Nevertheless, they still need to fry it, and the frying pan, the machbas, is in fact a klisharis. So we're back to the point. So if we bake it and fry it the day before, if salay belina, then it'll become possible by lina, because once it goes in a klisharis, then it has kedushas and guf, and then leaving it overnight will make it possible. Tosfos points out there should be a different reason why does Rava need to learn it from this point, and how do we know that burning it on the Mizbeach is also Doicha Shabbos, and Tosfos discusses that a little bit. So we have several explanations why it is that the Minchas Chavitin is prepared even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei Rava, we learn a Braisa like the way Rava learned. Al Machmas, the Pasuk says that it's made in a frying pan, Malamach Chitur and a Kli, that teaches us that it requires a Kli Shardis for its preparation, and automatically, therefore, that means it has to be made every day, otherwise it will become possible with Lina by being left overnight. The Braisa continues, when the Pasuk says Vashemen, the Pasuk says that you make the Minchas Chavitin with oil. Now, what does that mean? Most Menachos contain oil. So it means Lahoisif Lashemen. Means you have to add more oil than a normal mincha. Now, the Enya Deakama. Now, we wouldn't know how much. You're saying add oil, but how much extra oil should you add? So, Hareni Dol. So, we can figure it out like this. Nemakan Shemen. Here, the Pasuk is saying that you have to have oil in it. So you have to have oil in it. The Nemar Halim, the Minchas Nesachim Shemen. And then when Minchas Nesachim, in last week's parasha, it also says that you have to have oil in the Minchas Nesachim that's brought together the Sonim Sos, the bowl of Hashemen, the Shemen Kosis Reva Hahim. That's talking about the Korban Tomid. Rashi says another possibility is that in Parashat Shlach, when it talks about Minchas Nesachim in general, then it also mentions over there that Minchas Nesachim contains oil. Therefore, we can learn Malahalim Shloshes Lugim Isorim. Now, just like when it comes to the Minchas Nesachim, then you have three lugim to each isarin. Because the pasuk says, Reva Hahin, one quarter of a hin, a hin being 12 lug, one quarter of that is three lug. Just like over there, you have that. Askan, Shloshes lugim isarin, the same way over here, you have the three lugim of oil in the one isarin of flour. So normal mincha would be one isarin of flour and one lug of oil. Here it's one isarin to three lugim. Well, the Gemara says, Oitloch l'derasu, but maybe you should go in a different direction. Maybe you should say, Nemak, maybe you should learn from a Minchas Yochin. Nemakan Shemen, but Nemak Minchas Nindava Shemen. Maybe because it says over here Shemen, and it also says by an individual voluntary Mincha, it also says Shemen. Malahalam loyd echad, afkan loyd echad. Maybe the same way over here as there. It's one log, and we're going to learn later in the Masechta how we know that, that an individual's mincha consists of one, generally consists of one isor and a flour, and it consists of one, and it has one log of oil in it. So maybe, so maybe we should learn it from that and say that it only needs one log of oil. Rashi points out that, look, I mean, the Gemara is going to ask soon that, wait a minute, here specifically because it says bashemen means you have to add oil. So the Gemara will ask that point soon. Okay, but first let's see. So Gemara says nidol midoyma. Well, you know what? You have a question there. You can on one hand compare minchas havitin of the kohen gadol to the minchas nesachim and say that it needs three log of oil to the one isarin. On the other hand, you could compare it to a minchas nedava. Well, nidol midoyma. Let's see which one it resembles more. Done in tavshit mitavshit. More logically, we're going to learn one type of korban that has the characteristics called tavshit, which the Gemara is going to explain in a second. That's an acronym for several different factors that apply to that korban. Meet tavshit. We're going to learn from another one that has the same kind of thing. The in donin. So we're going to learn tavshit from tavshit. Namely, what does tavshit stand for? Todir. First of all, it's constant. The minchas nesachim is brought every day together with the korban tamid, and the kohen gadol's mincha is also brought every day. So that's the tough. Ba'choiva, both of them are requirements. So that's a parenthesis over here, and Birkas HaZevach takes that out. The fact is, it is a choiva, but that's not the point. I mean, a yochid sometimes also has to bring a mincha, which is a choiva as well. So you have that. Doicha Shabbos, also the shin stands for that both of them push off Shabbos. The Kohen Gadol's Minchas Chavitin, we just said, takes place even on Shabbos, even the preparation of it is done on Shabbos, let alone the offering of it. And Minchas Nesachim with the Talmud also comes on Shabbos as well. Doicha Tuma, and it pushes off Tuma for the same reason. It's a korban. It's considered a korban sibur to that extent that it's Doicha Tuma, as we said before, as opposed to a Minchas Nesava. You don't bring it on Shabbos, and you don't bring it at the Torah or Talmud. The general rule being that any korban that doesn't have a fixed time is not Doicha Shabbos and is not Doicha Tumah. So since the an individual's mincha doesn't have a fixed time, therefore it's not Doicha Shabbos or Tumah, whereas the Kohen Gadol's mincha, the Minchas Havitin, is, and so is the Minchas Nesachim. Therefore, we have a lot of similarities between them, and therefore we should say that we're learning one from the other. The Gemara says, Oikloch, the Braise continues, Oikloch, Lederachzu. But on the other hand, maybe you can think of it in a different way. You can look at it in another way. Doni Yogil mi Yogil. Maybe we should learn a mincha that has the characteristics of Yogil from another one that has the same characteristics, namely a private mincha. Yochid, both of them are brought by an individual, the Kohen Gadol or an individual person, respectively. Bigual Atma, the Gimel stands for because of itself, meaning the Minchas Nesachim comes together with another korban. You have to bring the Tavid, and along with it, you have to bring the Minchas Nesachim. You have to bring, in general, an Oil or a Shlomim, and you have to bring the Minchas Nesachim with it. Whereas the Chavite Kohen Gadol and individual's Mincha are both korbanos that are independent of anything else. They're just brought for their own sake rather than together with another korban. So that's the yud. Yayin, both of them involve wine. So that's also in parenthesis, and because Azevach takes that out as well, because an individual's mincha doesn't come with wine. So fine, then the simon would not be yogil with a yud, but rather yogil without a yud. And levoina, and both of them require levoina, as opposed to, again, and minchat nesachim is just flour and oil and no levoina. So v'ein donin yogil m'sheina yogil. So before we argued that we should learn from tavshit, v'ein donin tavshit m'sheina tavshit, we shouldn't learn what's tab shit from what's not. But now we're saying the same thing. The ain done in Yogil, Mishane Yogil. Maybe then we shouldn't learn a Korban which has the characteristics of Yogil, the Chavit Karigado, from one which is not Yogil, namely from the Minchas Bistachim, which doesn't have any of those characteristics. So how do we know then? How much oil the Minchas Chavitin has to have? So the answer is, Rabbi Shmuel B'dai Shul Abiyotim Ebroit Oimer, the answer is because the Pasuk by the Minchas Chavitin says, Solas Mincha Tomid. Flour for a mincha constantly. So what do we learn from that word tamid? It means hilachok mincha smidin. So it's like a mincha of the tamid. Ma mincha smidin shloshes lugim leisarin. So just like by the mincha of the tamid, you have three lugim to the isarin. After two shloshes lugim leisarin, the same way here by the mincha chavitin, it's also going to have three lugim to the isarin. Which the Tosfos points out in that case, then what do we need the word bashemen? The whole point was we were saying that we originally be learning from the word bashemen. The answer is if we weren't for the word bashemen, we wouldn't know what we have to add. We know it has to be like the mincha of the tamid, but we wouldn't know in what regard. Now that it says bashemen, then that clarifies, make sure that the amount of oil is equal to that of minchas b'safin. Okay, so all of that the Braisa says is one way of learning that the Minchas Chavitin contains one isoran of flour together with three logim of oil. Reb Shimon says a different way. We can learn Riba Kan Shemen, Riba Minchas Kvasim Shemen. Again, we will learn from Mincha of sheep, but also we'll say it in a different way. The Torah tells us by the Mincha that goes together with sheep, again, the Minchas Nesachim, that you have three logim of oil. Namely, in other words, by minchas nedava you only have one, and here, as we said, the word bashemen means that you're adding more oil, so the amount of oil you would add would be equal to the mincha that's brought with sheep. Malahalon shloishes logim leisarin, just like over there, you have three logim to one isarin of flour, afkan shloishes logim leisarin, the same way here, you have three logim of oil to one isarin of flour. Oy, kloch l'derach zu, but continues with Shimon, maybe go in the other direction. Fine. In other words, before the Braisa was saying we would think we would learn from a minchas yachid, from an individual's mincha which has only one lug of oil. Reb Shimon says, never mind that. Obviously, the wood Rashemen teaches us that it has to have extra oil. But how much extra oil? So first we're saying we'll learn from the minchas nesachim of sheep. But how do we know? Oy klach l'derach zu, riba kan shemen v'riba minchas torim ve'elam shemen. Maybe you have extra oil over here. You also have extra oil when it comes to the mincha that goes together with cattle or that goes together with rams, where you have even more oil. V'riba minchas torim ve'elam shemen. Where there you have six log of oil for a pair or four for an aisle. Malahalim shnei logim leisarin. So just like over there, and you also have now the amount of flour increases as well. For a ram, what it is like this: for a sheep, you have it's a ratio of 1 to 3. You have one isarin of flour to three logim of oil. When it comes to rams and cattle, that we learned about this in Zvachim, the ratio is 1 to 2. By a ram, you have 2 isarin of flour and 4 logim of oil. And by a bull, by cattle in general, you have 3 isarin of flour and 6 logim of oil. So maybe we would say then, malahalim shnei logim leisarin, afkan shnei logim leisarin. Maybe instead we should say that the ratio should be 1 to 2. So therefore the minchas chavitin, which consists of 1 isarin, and that the Torah tells us very clearly it's 1 isarin, then the ratio should be 1 to 2, like by rams and by cattle, and we should say therefore it would be 2 logim of oil, not 3. So how do we know? Nidol midoyma. Well, let's see which one it resembles. Donin mincha bar ison, mincha bar beisarin. Says Rav Shimon, you're going to learn the details of a mincha which is made of 1 isarin of flour from another one which is also 1 isarin of flour. Vein donin mincha bar ison, mincha bar shnayim u'shloisha esurinim, as opposed to don't learn it from the minchas misochin that goes with rams or with cattle, where there you have more flour as well. You have 2 asurinim or 3 asurinim, as the case may be. So we're not going to learn the minchas chavitin, which is only 1 isarin from that. Therefore, we're not going to learn the proportion of flour to oil from that either. Instead, we're going to learn from the kvasin, which is 1 isarin, just like the minchas chavitin. Thus far the Braisa. So now let's analyze what the Braisa was saying. The Gemara says, "No go for kasha." You seem to have a contradiction in the Braisa itself. Amrit bashemen lahoisif lashemen. First, you're telling me the word bashemen means you should add extra oil. Vahodot tani, but then the Braisa is saying, never can shemen, the never minchas nedava shemen, that by a voluntary mincha it also says oil. And by a voluntary mincha, there's only one lug of oil. So then you wouldn't be doing anything with the word bashemen by the minchas chavitin. So once we know that we have the word bashemen to add extra oil, why is the Braisa even entertaining the idea that we should learn from minchas nedava and say that there's not going to be any extra oil, there's just going to be the one rule? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, man tana b'shemen, lohoi sif Reb Shimon. The answer is, it's specifically Reb Shimon, who said the word b'shemen comes to add extra oil, as we had at the end of the Braisa. So now, when the Braisa is going with the logic of it, though, the Braisa is, the Braisa, when it continues, so first the Braisa says we learn from Hashemen. That would be a point of Shimon. But then, who is it that's replying and saying, wait, you could learn logically, and you could say otherwise, Rabbi Yishmael. That would be Rabbi Yishmael, who, as we said in the Braisa, says we're not learning from the word Hashemen. He was saying logically, maybe we should learn from the Minchas Yochid, and instead we said that no, we're going to learn from the Minchas Nisachim, first because they have similarities, but then when we said the Minchas Yochid also has similarities, then we said, fine, ultimately we're going to learn from the fact that it says Tomid in the Pasuk. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're not learning from the word Bashemen that there's any extra oil at all. So in other words, the flow of the Braisa is like this. So according to Reb Shimon, you're right. We can't learn from Minchas Nedava because the Pasuk is clearly telling us that you need extra oil. But Reb Shmuel interrupts him and says, how do you know? The word Bashemen is coming to add. It means, in other words, that Reb Shmuel is saying that I'm not doubting from the word Bashemen, and you could equally well have that it means that you don't have extra, that it doesn't, we're not learning from that, but you have extra oil. The word Bashemen is just teaching us that you need oil b'chlal. And then instead we need to learn the fact that there's extra oil in a different way. So that would be the flow of the Braisa. It starts with Reb Shimon saying Bashemen, then Reb Shmuel jumps in and says, wait, you can't learn from Bashemen. I would logically learn it from Minchas Nedava, and he ends up showing how logically we would have to learn it from Minchas Nisachim, and in the end saying that it's not just a matter of logic, it's the fact that the Torah says the word Talmud. Whereas Reb Shimon says we learn from Bashemen, and therefore according to him, then you know there's no havam in it to even learn it from Minchas Yochid, because Minchas Yochid doesn't have an extra oil, and therefore the only question is which Nesachim we learn it from, and he says we learn it from the Nesachim of sheep. So that's one answer. Rav Huna Brady Rav Shua Amar, Rav Huna Brady Rav Shua gives a different answer. Kula Rav Shmuel Ben Esher Rav Yechanan Ben Berakeh. The entire Braisa is in fact according to Rav Shmuel Ben Esher Rav Yechanan Berakeh, the one who comes in and says that we learn from the word Tamid. So Vahochi Kama, what it means is Bashemen Lahosif Lashemen. When it says Bashemen means you have to add oil, and the reason why you have to be told to add oil, the Ilik Voya Shemen Light Sarah. Well, it's just a matter to tell us that it needs oil in the first place, there'd be no reason to even have to say it. Because the Pasuk says that you make it in a frying pan. A frying pan means minchas machbas gamya. Means by definition, it's going to have to be like a mincha that's baked, that's fried in a frying pan, where you do need oil. So once it says al machbas, minchas machbas gamya, so therefore, we wouldn't need anything to tell us that you need oil, and therefore the Braisa starts by saying the word bashemen can teach us that you have extra oil. But then the Braisa continues, Oy Eina Ela Lech Boya Lashemen. Maybe on the contrary, maybe the Pasuk is telling us to begin with that you need oil, and you can't learn it from Mahmas. The Ilai Kosav Rahman Bashemen, if the Torah had not written the word Bashemen, Hava Minatabik Minhas Choyte, you would think maybe it should be like a Mincha of a sinner, the Mincha of a Kovid Ola Yodet, which has no oil in it at all. What would you do with the word machbas? Fine, it means you have to bring it in a kli sharis, where machbas is one type of kli sharis. It wouldn't necessarily mean that it's actually fried in there. It would just mean you have to bring it and make it holy in a kli sharis. So you would have thought like that. So therefore, the Braisa is saying that on the one hand, the word bashemen, on the face of it, teaches us extra oil, because you would think it starts off by default with one instant of oil, and therefore we need to be told that on the contrary, maybe it shouldn't have any oil in it at all. Maybe the word bashemen is just to tell us, b'chlal, that it has oil, namely like a regular mincha, and not like a mincha schoite. The Rashba brings up the point. I mean, why would we even think so? Why would you think the mincha savitin should be like a mincha schoite? So first he says, because Because Reb Shimon is the one who explains in a Gemara in Sota why Minchas Chota has no oil, that Hashem doesn't want his korban to be beautiful. So maybe Reb Shmuel, but no, Reb Yechon the Broker would say there's a different reason why Minchas Chota has no oil, and therefore we would say maybe a Chavita Kohen Gadol was like that. Then the Rashba says another reason is, because look, I mean, one of the many reasons we talked about yesterday, there's a bunch of different reasons why the Kohen Gadol brings a Mincha every day anyway, and among them, Abinel brings a bunch of reasons, and among them is he should be bringing a poor person's korban to be humble before Hashem, so maybe Fakirti should not bring one with oil, and that will make him even more humble. The same way, for example, as the Gemara tells us in brachas, that a Kohen Gadol bows at the beginning and end of every bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, not just at the beginning and end of the bracha Avos and of Modim like we do, because the Kohen Gadol has a higher position and therefore he needs to be more humble. So maybe in the same way, maybe his mincha, unlike a regular person, should not have oil in it. Therefore the Braisa entertained the possibility that maybe his mincha has no oil, that we would have thought that it has no oil at all. And that therefore the word Bashemen just teaches us that it does have oil, but not necessarily that it has extra oil. So therefore he would have thought that. Then Rabbi Shmuel continues, so sort of Munabre Rabbi Shmuel explains, Rabbi Shmuel then rethinks it and says, to heavy nami l'kvoyo Bashemen, fine, let's say the word Bashemen is just telling us the chlal that it needs oil, because otherwise he wouldn't have known. Nevertheless, tasi midina, nevertheless we can learn from Gzeira Shava of Minchas Nesachim, the don dina. And he wants to make the limud because of the have kadshit, like we said before, because they're both tamid and they're both required and they're both doicha shabbos, etc. But then the like asule, but it doesn't work out because equally well you could learn instead from yogil. Therefore, he required the pasuk to serve as mincha tamid. He needs the word tamid because otherwise he wouldn't have known that. So he was trying. Rabbi Shmuel Mil say as Rabbi Shmuel Ben Yosef Rabbi Yechon Ben Breker. In fact, finishes and says that. So, says Rav Huna Breda Rishua, not like Abaya said where the Braisa is, Rav Shimon starting to say that you learn from Bashemen, and then Rav Shmuel, Benosha, Rav Yechon, and Breka interjecting and saying you can't learn from Shemen. But rather, the Braisa as a whole is Rav Shmuel, Benosha, Rav Yechon, and Breka is saying the whole thing. First, he starts by saying the word Bashemen on the face of it means extra oil. Maybe not. Maybe Bashemen just means to tell us Bechlal that it should have oil. Maybe we should try to learn it from the fact from Tavshit. Doesn't work because of Yogil. Therefore, in the end, we need to learn from the word Tavim. And again, as Tosca says, we still do need the word Bashemen, after all, to tell us in what way is it like the Minchah of the Tavim in the fact that it has extra oil. A third explanation, Rabba on the Kula Reb Shimon. The Rabba says, you could say the whole Braisa is like Reb Shimon. So far we had an explanation that it's Reb Shimon and then Reb Shmuel, Ben Yosef, Reb Yechon, and Breka interjecting in the middle. We had the second possibility according to Reb Shmuel, the whole thing. So Rava says a third possibility, Kol Reb Shimon, the entire Braisa is like Reb Shimon, the Ilu Lo Nema Kama. Namely, the Braisa is saying, if it hadn't said, namely like this, Slokum, Bashemen Lahusif Lashemen. The word Bashemen teaches us you have to have extra oil. Do you look boil Lashemen like Sarah to say that it needs oil, Bechlal, you don't need that, Kibin Lichtiboa, Machvas? Because since the pasuk says it needs a frying pan, Kemachvas Damia, so again, it means that it has to be like a mincha that's made in a frying pan, which involves oil. The ad shall yom Bashemen, but continues Reb Shimon. Really, why does it even need to say the word Bashemen? Can't we learn it in a different way? Yes, Shibadin, I could learn it logically, that you would learn it from the Minchas Nesachim. The Dungina, so he tries to learn it from Minchas Nesachim because they're both Tavshit. Loy Asulay. It doesn't work out because you could say instead you learn from Yogil. The Asul Chabashemen, therefore, after all, he does need the word Bashemen. But then, now that we've established that the word Bashemen, that it does need extra oil, now the question is, how much extra oil? Like the mincha that goes with a sheet, or like the mincha that goes with a paru ayel? Father Omar said then, Reb Shimon rethinks himself and says, have the mincha sporim ba'elim. Maybe we should say that it should be like a mincha of a paru ayel, which has 2 lugim of oil per son. Then he says, no, don't in mincha bo yisoren fula. No, because you learn a mincha that comes as 1 yisoren from another one that's 1 yisoren rather than the porim the elin, which is 2 is to be yisoren. So according to that, then the entire braisa is according to the Shimon. The Shittim Kobetzos has a completely different girsa in this last part of the Gemara. He has a Girsa, first of all, it's not Rabba, but rather Rava, who gives the third answer. And he goes like this, that the whole thing, on the contrary, is appointed to be Shmuel, Ben Yosef, Rabbi Yechon, and Breka. So first we had an answer that it was appointed to be Shimon, and then to be Shmuel, coming in the middle and interrupting him, and then Rabbi Shimon going back to what he said. The second explanation, it was appointed to be Shmuel, Ben Yosef, Rabbi Yechon, and Breka. So now, Rava would be saying also, I agree the whole thing is appointed to be Shmuel, Ben Yosef, Rabbi Yechon, and Breka, but we would go like this, when it says Bashemen, so his gear says, it's small, but it's a bit from the means, Bashemen, Lahoisif, Lashemen. The word Bashemen means to add extra oil. Do you like boil Bashemen like Sarah? To add, to just say that you need oil is unnecessary. Because since it says al machvas, it's in a frying pan. Kaminchas machvas damia, then it has to be like a mincha in a frying pan, which involves oil. Oh, you ain't able to boil Lashemen. But maybe not. How do you know? Maybe the word Bashemen means to tell us that it needs oil in the first place. Because like in Ravuna Breda, the Yeshua's answer, we would have thought maybe we should compare it to a minchas chote. You might have thought that maybe it doesn't have oil in it at all. Or the Amen, then he says, you're going to say the word Bashemen tells us that there is oil and doesn't tell us anything about extra oil. Taste in the dinner, then we should be able to learn it from the Gzeira Shava, the Dundini tries the Gzeira Shava, the way ask your labor, it doesn't work out, the ask your chikra, and therefore we need the puzzle. The Ikka Da'ami, so this is what Shitam Gobertus adds. The Ikka Da'ami, he says that the Ikka Da'ami, another version of Rava is Amar Rava, that Rava gives the answer that's printed inside the Gemara over here. So Shitam Gobertus, in other words, says that first you have one version where Rava gives much the same answer as Ravuna Berech Rebeshua, that Rabbi Shmuel, is going through and saying that you might have thought it wouldn't have oil at all, but no, the word Bashemen teaches us that it has oil, but then, how do we learn it? Ultimately, we learn it from the word Tomin. And then, another version is that Rava says that ultimately we learn it not from the word Tomin, but rather from the fact that we're gonna learn it as the Braisa finishes off, from the fact that one is Sorin, you learn from one is Sorin. Okay. Continuing with the dinim of Minchas Chavitin, the previous Mishnah had talked about where a Kohen Gadol passed away and they appointed a new one the same day. So what we said is the original Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol, had brought one complete Isarin in the morning, as he's supposed to. Half of it they offered as his Minchas Chavitin in the morning. Then he passed away. That same day they appointed a new Kohen Gadol. So we said in the previous Mishnah, that now he can't use the half that was left over by the first one, and he can't bring only a half of his own. He has to bring a fully sorin, and half of it will be brought for the korban, and then there's the remaining half of the original sorin, and the remaining half of the second sorin are going to be burnt, as Psula Mokdashin, as we talked about yesterday. Tosfos says maybe the second half of the second one could be korban. But that was all when a new Kohen Gadol was appointed the same day. What about loy minu kohen achatachtav? What happens if they didn't appoint a new kohen gadol instead that same day, and they still have to bring the minchas chavitin every day? Michel mi hoisa kreva. Then the question is: now, when the kohen gadol is alive, then we said he's the one who has to give the flour and the pashrus, also the oil for the minchas chavitin. But when there's no kohen gadol, who provides the materials for it? Reb Shimon omer mishal tzibur. Reb Shimon says that tzibur will have to provide that flour and oil. Reb Yehuda omer mishal yoshin. Reb Yehuda says it will have to come from the yoshin, from the heirs of the kohen gadol. Even now, those heirs are not necessarily going to be the ones who are going to be succeeding him as Kohen Gadol. The Tosfos Yom Tov says, in fact, only if they take inherited from their father, then they would have to bring it, otherwise they would not. On the other hand, the Minchas Chinuch says and disagrees and says that not, they would have to bring it regardless. The Minchas Chinuch also goes on to say that even if he had no sons, what if he only had daughters or other Yoshim, nevertheless, says the Minchas Chinuch, they would have to bring this korban. On the other hand, Rashi says, Echon Mibonov, one of his sons should bring it, implying maybe only his sons have an obligation to bring it, not daughters or brothers or what have you. So there is in fact a sikha in Chelek Lamed Beis, where the Rebbe talks about that, and the Rebbe talks about this whole matter in detail, and also discusses the point that he says based on the Rambam's Lashon, it comes out that also, I mean, the heirs have to bring it regardless, even if they're not succeeding him as Kohen Gadol, even if they're daughters, because the Rambam uses the expression that they're bringing it as a kapara for him. So even though we normally say there's no kapara for somebody who passed away, here in fact, the heirs would be required to bring it regardless, and it is, in fact, and the Rebbe goes on to discuss in the Sitta that according to Rashi on the Pasuk, and particularly, it comes out, here we talk about an Omer Aleph, whether the Minchas Chavitin is considered basically like a korban of a Yachid or a korban of a Tzibur, so now it would come out that according to Rashi's Lashon on the Pasuk, it explains that it comes out that it's considered like a korban Tzibur. So the essential question, the essential machloikas here between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda is whether it's a mincha of Tzibur or whether it's a mincha of a Yochid. According to Reb Yehuda, and the Rambam passing like Reb Yehuda would mean it's a korban of a Yochid, therefore his heirs have to bring it. And even if, you have the question, does it mean only his heirs if they're going to be succeeding him as Kohen Gadol, or does it mean his heirs even if they're daughters or whatever, whereas according to the Behuda, and the Rambam Paskins accordingly, it is in fact considered a mincha of the Tzibur. We talked about yesterday the various reasons that the Ababnel brings for the Minchas Chavitin in the first place, and among those reasons, some of them suggest that it's more a korban of a Yochid, and some of them suggest more that it's a korban, that it's a korban of a Tzibur. And then it talks about, finishes off the Sikha over there and says that one way of looking at it is that the anointing of the Kohen Gadol is a continuous thing every day, and therefore every day he has to bring this korban. And that's the point in general, that our avoda every day should be something new, and it should be as if today we were anointed and today we're just sorting it out. So therefore, in token of that, the Kohen Gadol brings this mincha every day. So Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to show Yoshin. Rabbi Yehuda says it comes from the Yoshim. They're the ones who supply the flour for it. Again, whether that means any Yoshim or whether that means after his sons, that you have machloikas achroinim about it. And furthermore, it was brought complete. Instead of bringing a half he started in the morning and a half in the afternoon, instead of fully started is brought together. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll learn tomorrow. Does that mean a fully started in the morning and a fully started in the afternoon, or does it mean a fully started in the morning and nothing in the afternoon? We'll talk about that later. Best Hashem. So the Gemara says, "Turn around, we learn in the Brayse." So Kohen Gadol shemesh v'leminu Kohen Achashavta. When a Kohen Gadol passed away and did not appoint a new Kohen Gadol instead of him, minayin in fasik kreivim v'sel Yoshim. How do we know that the mincha is brought from the funds of the Yoshim, as Rabbi Yehuda said in the Brayse, as Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah? Tamad loyim avak Kohen Mashiach tachta minbonav yasa osa. As the pasuk says, the Kohen who's anointed instead of him from his sons should bring it. Meaning, in other words, that one of his sons, one of his children, should offer the korban. And here's where Rashi says, Echad mibonav yasa oisa, one of his sons, which would imply that Rashi holds it's only sons, not daughters or brothers or what have you. So that's the point of Rabbi Yehuda. His Yoshin have to bring it. Yocho yakireno chatzoyim, you would think though that you still bring it in halves like you do when the Kohen Gadol himself did. No, tamadlama oisa, therefore the pasuk says it, meaning kula, v'leifetia, the entire thing together, not just half of it, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. Reb Shimon says, no, on the other hand, the pasuk says, chok olam. It's a law for olam. Now, olam usually means forever, but it can also mean olam, as in the world. Mishel olam, we learn from that, but it means it comes from the world, it comes from the Jewish people collectively, namely from Trumas HaLishta. And when he says, kolo toktor, it should be completely burnt, doesn't just mean that it's completely burnt, it means that it's burnt as a complete thing. In that case, namely, in other words, that unlike the usual case where you divide it in half, half in the morning and half in the evening, here you offer the whole thing together.
The whole thing is burnt. Rashi explains it means it's all burnt, meaning there's no shirayim to eat. Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it means that there's no shirayim. Most menachos, as we know, as we've learned throughout this Masechta, there are shirayim, the leftovers that are eaten by the Kohenim, but here the whole thing is burnt.
You don't make shirayim and eat of it. Rashi's second explanation is it means that you bring the whole thing together, not just half at a time like you do when the Kohen Gadol was alive. So in other words, the point is, Tosfa says, appointed of Shimon, who says it comes Michel Olam, that it comes from Trumas Alishya, it comes from the funds of the Tzibur, you would have thought it should be like a regular mincha where the Kohenim can eat it. If appointed of Yehuda, the Kohen Gadol's Yoshim bring it, then there's really no Chiddush. Any mincha of Kohenim is completely burned. But when it's worked from the Tzibur, you would have thought that it's not, and therefore we need to be told that, so we need to be told that nevertheless it's completely burned. But again, Rashi's second explanation is that anyway, that's not what it means. It just means it's burnt the whole thing together rather than doing half in the morning and half in the evening as when the Kohen Gadol is alive. So the Gemara asks, "V'hai Kohen Mashiach lahochi u'da'asa?" You're telling me the words Kohen Mashiach, from which we're learning that when the Kohen Gadol passed away, that other people bring the mincha instead of him. Is that what we're learning from the word? Don't we need this pasuk to teach us what it says in a braisa? So the pasuk says this is the korban of Aaron and his sons that they should offer to Hashem on the day that they're anointed. So you would think that it means that Aaron and his sons both all bring the exact same korban. Meaning, in other words, that you would think that not the exact same korban. Meaning, in other words, maybe they're just bringing one korban collectively when they're anointed, and then that's it. Therefore, the pasuk continues that they should offer to Hashem. First, it says zeh korban. This is the korban in the singular. Then it says ashayakrivu, that they plural should offer. Meaning, in other words, so from that we learn out of this Aaron b'fnei atzmo, bonim b'fnei atzmo, means Aaron has his own korban. It's the same korban. It's the same mincha where of one isorin of flour and three lugim of oil and fried and baked and everything like we talked about before. But the difference is Aaron b'fnei atzmo. Aaron brings it on his own schedule every single day. Bonim b'fnei atzmo, and his sons, the regular kohenim, bring it on their own only the first time that they do the avodah. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is that only on the day of the Miluim, only on the day when they were inaugurated, Aaron and his sons into the Avodah and the Bais Hamikdash, only then would they bring this korban, but not in future generations. Rashi says, "V'lo yipi amora," that's not from my rebellion, though, because the fact is, the Kohenim of Yotim do in fact bring a mincha when they do the avodah, each Kohen throughout the generation, the first time he does the avodah, does in fact bring a Kohen mincha. The braisa continues. Bonav elu Kohenim adyotis. Now, when it says his sons, means the regular Kohenim. After elu Kohenim adyotis, he's saying it means the regular Kohenim. Oy ena elu Kohenim dolim. Maybe it means the Kohenim dolim of future generations. And even they were saying that, they have to bring a korban. Any future one who succeeds Aaron as Kohen Gadol has to bring this korban. How do we know that a regular Kohen Hadid brings it at all? How do we know that? So Kshur Oymavak, Kohen HaMashiach Tachna Mibonav, because the Pasuk says the Kohen was anointed instead of him from his sons, are a Kohen Gadol Omer, then that refers to the Kohen Gadol. Because only the Kohen Gadol in every generation is anointed. Homani Makayim Bonav, so what does it mean Bonav? In a couple of psukim earlier, means Elu Kohenim Adyotis, of necessity it means the regular Kohenim. So they also bring a mincha on the first day when they do the Avodah. So the point is, we're using the word Kohen HaMashiach to teach us that concept, that every future Kohen Gadol and every future Kohen Hedyot brings this mincha. So how are we using it to learn from it about the case where the Kohen Gadol passed away, which was on Mishnah and the Braisa? The answer is in Cain, if that's all it meant, just that we're just learning that the Yoshin bring the mincha, lichtiv karak, Kohen HaMashiach tachtav, bonav yasa. The Pasuk would have said, the Kohen who was anointed, instead of him, his sons should do it. So that means when he passed away, his sons take over and bring the korban. My mi bonav, why does it say, from his sons, shamin natalki, therefore it means you can learn both things from it. That it means when he passes away, one of his sons, the one who's going to succeed him as Kohen Gadol, brings this korban, starts bringing this korban every day because he's a new Kohen Gadol. But we can also learn from it that when there's not a new Kohen Gadol yet, when they haven't appointed him yet, then also the Minchas Chavitin is still brought, but then it's still brought by the Yoshim or by the Tzibur, according to the two different opinions. Okay. Now, in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda had learned from the word Oisa, that it means you bring the whole thing together, and according to Shimon, we said instead we learn it from the word kolol tofta. So Reb Shimon Hai Oisa Mai Ovinle, what is Reb Shimon doing with the word Oisa? Following the second explanation. Again, Rashi had given two explanations of what's going on over here. One explanation was that when Reb Shimon had said polo tochter, one explanation was it meant that there aren't shirayim, you do in fact burn the whole thing on the mizbeach. And the second one was you don't do it piecemeal, you offer the whole thing, the holy sodom together. So following that explanation then, what is Reb Shimon doing with the word oyster? So the answer is midvoyla the kohen gadol shemesim mina achatakav. It teaches us about the case of when the previous mishnah where the kohen gadol passed away and they did appoint a new kohen gadol that same day. Shalayavik chatzi yisarin mibesoi. Whereas we said the new kohen gadol cannot bring a new half yisarin. He has to bring an entire full yisarin. The lo yishama the lo chatzi yisarin sharicha, and also that he cannot use the half yisarin left over by the first one. That we learn from the word oisa according to the mishnah. The Gemara says, we don't need that. The typical claim means machatzisa. We learned yesterday that you learned that from the word of umachatzisa, where we said machatzisa means half of a complete Yisarin, and umachatzisa means even if the first half of the Yisarin was already offered that day, nevertheless, you need to start over with a new Yisarin if you have a new cutting level. So then we're learning it from that. The answer is, Vav like Darish, Reb Shimon does not doubt from a Vav like that. Tursus points out there are other places in Shas where Reb Shimon does doubt in a Vav, but as Tosfos discusses, there are some places where Reb Shimon will dash in a vav and other places that not. So okay. Tosfos points out where there's a reason to say that the vav is there for a significant purpose, then Reb Shimon will dash in. And he apparently he doesn't consider that it's significant. The pashtos, because when the pasuk is machtisa ba'boker, then the natural thing is to say umachtisa ba'orev, and the vav is not meant to teach us anything special according to Reb Shimon. So therefore he needs the word kula for that. And therefore he needs the word oisa for it. Whereas Reb Yehuda, who does dash at the vav, has the word oisa available for has the word available to teach us that you bring the whole thing at a time. Okay, but have you heard a high chok olam my oven lay? We said that Reb Shimon learns the fact that when there's no kohen gadol serving right now, then we said the minchas kavitin is brought by the is brought from the money of the tzibur, and we said we learn that from the fact that it says chok olam, which Reb Shimon is slain, means the law of the world. So the world at large, not just the kohen gadol. So according to Reb Yehuda, my oven lay, what is he doing with those words chok olam? The answer is chukah la'olam tehei. He says la'olam means forever. It should be a law for always. It's continuing in future generations. In other words, you would have thought, Tosfos says, Aaron should be offering minchas kavitin every day. And his sons, each descendant of his, as in turn, a person becomes a kohen gadol, then, fine, he brought a mincha as a kohen head, he'll bring another one as a kohen gadol. Whereas, how would we know that every regular kohen has to bring a mincha the first time he does the avodah? So therefore we need the word chok olam for that. So the Gemara says kolol tochter lomali. Reb Shimon adoushin from the word kolol tochter to say that it's completely burnt and none of it is eaten, or that the whole thing is burnt at once and not that you do it half and half. So lomali, according to Reb Yehuda, what is he doing with the words kolol tochter? And the answer is in Boi Lelechitetanya. Reb Yehuda uses it to teach us the following dig. Braisa says, Eimi ela el yoina. You would only know that the pasuk that it talks about first, namely the minchas kohen gadol, the kolol tochter, that one has to be completely burnt and burnt all at once. Tachtona minchas kohen hadyet v'loy ta'ot. Now, like this, in other words, you have two different things it says in the pasuk. It says the kolol tochter, it has to be completely burnt, and it also says loy se'ochol, which will not be eaten. Now, you could argue that only the first one mentioned, the mincha of the kohen gadol, does the pasuk say kolol tochter, it should be completely burnt. Tachtona, and the one that says second, that it says, because by the minchas kavitin, it says kolol tochter. Then the pasuk says, v'chol minchas kohen, kolol tia, it says any mincha of a kohen, it has to be burnt, loy te'ochol, it should not be eaten. So we would know that the mincha of a regular kohen, in general, any mincha that a regular kohen brings, not just the minchas sinuch, but any mincha that a kohen brings any time, has a mitzvah not to eat it. Minayin litin es omer shal zeh bezeh, es omer shal zeh bezeh. How do we know that they both apply across the board? Both of them have to be completely burnt, and both of them, if a person eats it, he's over on a lav. Therefore, we have the word kolo, and we make xeder shava. Never can kolo, the never halam kolo. It says kolo tochter, it should be completely burnt. And it says kolotia that the mincha of the Kohen Gadol should be complete. Malahalam, makan, the kolotokter, asmahalam, the kolotokter. So just like by the mincha of a regular Kohen, it's completely burnt. The same way by the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, it's completely burnt. Or malahalam, litin loisa salachilosa. And just like by the mincha of a regular Kohen, where it says loisa ochel, it should not be eaten. And that constitutes a lav, not to eat it. Afkan, litin loisa salachilosa. The same way when it comes to the mincha of a regular, the same way when it comes to the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, the mincha savitin, there's a lois that said not to eat it. Okay. So, Gemara cuts us a line. So Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda can both douch in each other's psukim to teach us other dinim, and therefore we're not bothered by the psukim or extra ones of them. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says that, the fact that there's an issue we would learn from the fact that it says kol tokter, it has to be completely burnt, implying don't eat it. But to have that as an actual lav, and a person would be getting malchus for it, for that you need the loisesa, and that we're learning from the Zeta Shava. Okay. So the Gemara asks, the sover of Shimon Mishal Tzibur. So you're telling me Rav Shimon holds that the minchas chazitin of the Kohen Gadol, when there's no Kohen Gadol, is brought from money of the Tzibur. Daraisa, that Rav Shimon holds that concept is Daraisa. But it's not. We learn in the Mishnah and Shkolim. Amar Rav Shimon, Shiva Dvarim Eskinu Beisin. Beisin made 7 takonis in connection with the avoider of the Mishnah. Vezeh Echad Mehem, one of them, the Mishnah describes over there, the Mishnah described, the person finds a lost animal near Yerushalayim, where there's a concern, the animals near Yerushalayim are likely to be korbanos, and there's a high likelihood that it's a korban, so now, depending whether it's male or female, depending on certain other factors, he's gonna have to bring it as an oil or a shlomim. Now, the Mishnah says originally, the finder would be required to pay for the nesachim for it. The problem was that people would just bring their animal and run away. They don't want to have to pay the expense of nesachim for an animal that they found, so therefore the that the Nesachim will be brought from money of the Tzibur. And then, so the Tzibur says, so that was one of the Takonis of Beis Din. And then we have more Takonis. One of them, so we're going to go through all of them. First of all, if a Goy sends his Oila from overseas, from any place else, whereas we learned in Zvachim, a Goy is able to bring an Oila to our Beis Din Mikdash, it has to follow all rules. It can't have a Mum, which is, of course, the whole story of Kamsa about Kamsa, but if he sends an oila, so it depends. So what do we do as far as the nesachim? Sholach ima nesachim. If he sent with it material for nesachim, not the nesachim themselves, because they'll become tamei, but it means they're going to be sent along money for the nesachim, create mishalai, then fine, we use his money to bring the nesachim. V'imla, then if not, create mishal tzibur, then based in meditakona, that the nesachim will be brought from the funds of the tzibur. Similarly, if a ger passes away, and he left korbanos as part of his estate, and he has no yoshim, so any Jew can take his property. Same thing, yeshra nesachim. If during his lifetime he set aside nesachim, that he set aside, whether he set aside the actual flour and oil and wine and whatever, or whether he just set aside money for it. So if he did that, fine. Krev mishaloi, then it's brought from that funds or that material that he left. Vimlav, and if not krev mishal tzibur, then it's brought from funds of the tzibur. But by a ger, by a regular Yisrael, whoever yoshims him is going to have to be bringing that korban. But by a ger, where he has no yoshim and his property is hefker, then so sometimes the nesachim would be brought mishal tzibur. So that's another one of the takanas of the chachamim. And then then we have, this is why we're bringing this in. It's a tnai based in, says Rav Shimon, that if the kohen gadol passed away, and they have not yet appointed another kohen gadol, the mincha should be brought from funds of the tzibur. So you see that at the point of Rav Shimon, this is a tnai of Beis Din. So okay, the Gemara doesn't bother at this point bringing the rest of the Mishnah. We have several other takanas that Rav Shimon lists. But the point is, in other words, that actually the Gemara is going to bring another one from that Mishnah and explain it in the name. But first, the point is, at the point of Rav Shimon, it's a takanas chachamim that the mincha, when the mincha chavitin should be brought from funds of the tzibur. Not like we said all this time that Rav Shimon is learning it from Sukkim. So the answer is, Shnei takonis habu. The answer is Rav Abba, who says there were two different stages in the takonim. Daraisa mid tzibur. On a daraisa level, it's supposed to be brought from the funds of the tzibur, as Rav Shimon had learned from the apostle. Kiven the chazir to come dach for lishka, but then they saw there came a point when the lishka is being pressed for funds, because In the time of the second Mishnah, as we know, many of the Kohanim Gadolim would buy their way into the position, and then they would pass away, they'd die in the Kodesh HaKadoshim during the Avodah, and they'd have to appoint a new Kohen Gadol, so therefore, it was causing financial pressure on the Lishka. So each one, there was a period of time before they appointed a new Kohen Gadol, and meanwhile, the Tzibur was having to supply the money for the Minchas Nesachim. So therefore, Takino delivered the Yoshin, therefore they made a Takana, we're going to collect the money from the Yoshin. Until the new Kohen Gadol is appointed. So again, we talked about before whether it means only if they yaushin from him or not. The Tosfos Yom Tov points out that if they yaushin property from him, then Beis Din can make that basically there's a shibud on his property, and therefore that when he passes away, there's a shibud that they're required to bring it until a new Kohen Gadol is appointed. But then, given the chosid, the papashi bub, but then they saw they're getting careless. The yoshim are not being careful to bring them in for sabitin. Then they put it back to the original takana, which is that it will come mishal tzibur. So that when Reb Shimon says in the Mishnah that it was a tznai based in, that means in other words it started out that it was Daraisa. The Tanai Basin was the second Tanai Basin in this connection, that after all it should be brought to Shot Sibur because the Yoshim are getting careless and not doing it.